Blog Talk Radio.
And a very good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria. The topic of discussion this evening is going to be colon cancer. Colon cancer affects tens of thousands of people around the United States every single year. And this evening, we're going to have a young lady on, Kimberly, who is a survivor of colon cancer, but she's not only a survivor, she's actually taken it a step further, and she has a big event that's going to be coming up in the D.C. area that we're going to talk about today, as well as hear her story as to what you can do to help her fight colon cancer, also what you can do to help others within your communities fight colon cancer. So as we talk throughout the show, I'll be giving you information and some statistics about colon cancer from the Mayo Clinic. Feel free to call in if you want to say hi to Kimberly, or if you have a question, I'll certainly take your questions inside the chat room. It looks like we've got a few folks in the chat room already, a lot of guests in there. So, again, I do want to thank you so much for joining us. But let's go ahead and see if we can get Kimberly on the line right now, and let's see if that's her. Kimberly, are you there? Hi, Kimberly, are you there? Hi, Kimberly, are you there?
I'm trying. I'm here.
I've got you. You're on.
Okay.
Thanks so much for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, so one reason why I wanted to tell you that I did this, wanted to do this show, and of course you don't know this, but there were a lot of your supporters and friends and families behind the scenes on this that contacted me and said, you know, you've got to have her on and talk about this. So that was how I ended up contacting you. It was, again, mostly through so many people who just love you, and they're just so happy that you're doing fine.
Oh, good. That's good. I had a wonderful support team. I really did.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. And certainly, you know, feel free to share as much information as you want, or you can leave stuff out if you certainly want to. I do want to mention before she gets started, I've got a few people that have already called in on the line. So,
hello. Oh, phone's going out. Hello.
Hi, Kimberly, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yes, something went crazy in there. But in any event, we're up and running again. And I do want to thank, again, everyone who is calling in. So, guys, don't hang up if you have something that you want to say, but I just want her to kind of get into her story. So tell us about when you first was diagnosed with colon cancer and how all of that happened.
I was diagnosed January 2005. I was only 35 at the time. I had no family history of colon cancer, and I found out I had it. I started having, a couple of months before that, I started having just some mild stomach pains, and I thought it was my thyroid. Then the pains got increasingly worse, and you got to listen to your body. So I kept going back to the gynecologist, and he said, no, it's not your fibroids, it's not that, it's something else is wrong. Bottom line is we figured out he scheduled an appointment for me to go to a gastro internal doctor, and that's when we never made it to the doctor. I went to the emergency room at 12 midnight because the pains were so bad, sweat was pouring off of me. I couldn't do anything. There was change in my bowel movements, everything. No blood in my stool, though. And these are important mm-hmm. signs of things you have to look for. But when I went to the emergency room, they sent me home, told me I had an ulcer. I went to a different emergency room 6 hours later, and they told me I had cancer. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know,
so you went from you went from thinking that you had an ulcer to, hey, guess what? You've got cancer.
And stage three cancer at that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but my body told me something was going on, and I did listen to it. It's just you got to be proactive and just not let a doctor tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, when I found out about the diagnosis, we went through chemo for about 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, going to chemo 3 times a week, sometimes 5 hours a day.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was a lot. Never lost my hair, though, ladies. Never lost my hair, believe it or not.
That's so funny because, you know, of course, whenever you talk about any type of cancer, and I've done a lot of stories on this, women always say, you know, obviously every single thing that they go through is bad, but they always say, but you know what, Victoria, when you start losing the hair, then you're kind of like, you know, it's...
Well, I was waiting for it to happen, but and everybody in the chemo place was bald except me, so I was thankful for that. It thinned out some, but never lost it all. But in any event, it was an ordeal. So, I went through the 10 months of chemo, and, you know, you never... With colon cancer stage 3, they did a colon resection when I was in the hospital. It took
mm-hmm.
out the bottom part of my ascending colon. I did not have to get a colostomy bag, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But they did do the surgery. Then I got an infection after that surgery. So it was like an ongoing process. I had 3 stomach surgeries.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was fine. You know, I went through the 10 months of chemo. They did my last scan. They said everything was fine. They didn't see any signs of the cancer. They never
mm-hmm.
say that you're cured because they just put you in remission. Because
okay.
they don't see any signs of it doesn't mean it's not there. When
right.
you have colon cancer, one of your biggest fears is it's spreading to your liver. It's a lot
mm-hmm.
more serious then. It had spread to some of my lymph nodes, but they got a few of those, and they didn't see any more signs. So after 10 months of treatment, I was in pretty good condition. But it was a very long 10 months. You know, you go through depression,
I'm
you go through everything.
Sure it was. Now, when you're going through something like that, do you question a lot of things that, you know, that one may have done in their past? You worry about, you know, your kids and your husband. I mean, you probably have a lot of things going on at one time, I imagine.
You know, it is hard on your family to see you go through this. I didn't have any children at the time. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm tell you, a miraculous story is after I had the cancer and the chemo, you know, you say all your eggs are destroyed at that point.
Right.
But on June of 2007, which was about a year and a half later, I delivered a 12-pound, 7-ounce baby. So she was
truly my
miracle baby.
She
was my miracle baby. And, you know, we were so worried, all the doctors, because I didn't find out I was pregnant until about 4 months into my pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
When I started feeling sick, I thought it was the cancer coming back. So when I went to the doctor, they said, no cancer, just the baby. And, you know, so that was kind of shocking.
Wow.
So,
For those of you that are joining us, you're listening to At Home with Victoria, my very, very good friend. I know Kimberly through my sister, Yolanda, and also a very good friend of Yolanda's. So, and it was really So who kind of was pulling my coattails into making sure that I get you on the air and talk about this event that you have coming up. Kim, we've got so many people that want to talk to you, so I'm going to shut up and go ahead and start taking some of the telephone calls that we
okay.
have. With folks coming in. It looks like we have a number 202. I do know that's D.C., so I'm going to go ahead and see if this 202. Hi, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Did you want to say hi to Kimberly?
I want to say hi to my wife.
Oh, hello.
That's my husband calling. Tony, leave it for other callers.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm not going to take up too much of the time. I just wanted to tell my wife I love her, how proud I am of her and her diligence of fighting cancer and just being a survivor. And I just wanted to let her know that I love her very much.
That's so nice.
I love you too, Tony.
Okay.
Oh, that's
bye-bye.
That's so nice. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
All right, we've got another caller on the line. This is a 301 number, and I know 301 is
Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Hi, caller, are you there? Hi, are you there? We'll try them back in a little bit. But go ahead and continue with your story, because as I was saying, it must be very, very, very difficult when one is going through something like that. You know, just everyday things, because you know you said that you were going to chemo and having that done. It just must be, you know, to actually walk the walk and go through something like that. Versus your, you know, family and friends supporting you, just saying hang in there. It's different when it's you that's got to deal with it, I imagine.
And that's a very true statement. You know, you always say you never know what people are going through until you go through it. I never knew how much that statement meant until I had cancer. But you mentioned Lasagna. We call her so. Lasagna and another good girlfriend of mine, Carolyn, and my best friend Ronette, and my sister Denise. When I tell you these women, there was a point when I couldn't wash myself. I could barely get out of bed. I couldn't shower. I couldn't go into the bathroom by myself was a job. And these women were right here beside me. I mean, Lasagna Soul would spend 8 days, and my other sister, Sharon. I mean, they spend 8 hours a day. These people are working, have jobs to take care of.
Right, right.
So, and my, you know, of course, my mother and father were there. So it's really about the support team that you have, and I had a dynamite support team.
Well, normally I try not to get all emotional, but I feel like I'm about to cry because, you know, when you have that many people that's there to care for you. Let's go ahead and take another caller. It's another 202 number. Hi, caller, are you there? Hi, are you there? You're live on the air. Okay, we'll try the 301. Hi, are you there? Do you want to say hi to Kimberly? You're live on the air. I'm not having any luck with those calls, but we'll try them again.
Okay.
But talk about your event that's coming up.
Well,
in
every
November.
Every year we try to do something to raise money for colon cancer, and the reason being is because colon cancer is probably, and a lot of people don't know, it's the second leading killer of the cancers behind lung cancer. But yet it's the most, people don't realize that. People think it's breast cancer. Colon cancer is the second leading killer among cancer among men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most, breast cancer, according to the National Cancer Institute, breast cancer, they spend like $570 million on breast cancer research compared to $270 on colon cancer. So we're just trying to raise money for research. So what I'm having this year is a tea party for the ladies. We're going to have it here. And during my process of cancer, I was trying to, ironically enough, open a funeral home. I've been a mortician for 20 years. So during that process, my husband and I were trying to open a funeral home, and we had to put all our plans on hold because I did get the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But in June of 2008, I was able to open my funeral home. It's a beautiful place in Waldorf, Maryland, and we're going to have the tea here, and it's called Sipping for the Star. Colon cancer just got its own symbol, just like AIDS has the red ribbon, breast cancer has the pink ribbon. We now have a blue ribbon and a star, so that's why we named the tea Sipping for the Star. The tickets are $30, and, of course, all the proceeds are going to go to the National Colorectal Cancer Research Alliance, and just to help raise money for research. It's going to be a wonderful, happy affair. It's going to be jazzy with hats. We love the ladies to wear hats, and it's a $30 donation, and it's going to be a silent auction. And people are like, why are you having it at a funeral home? If you see my funeral home, it's really, really pretty. So that's one reason.
Let me just say, my sister Yolanda, when you guys opened it and all that stuff, I just remember she kept saying, oh, you've got to see this. You've got to see her funeral home. I mean, she literally, I wasn't in town long enough, and she wanted to drive me over there to see it, and she happened to have some brochures. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to look at it. So I was, you know, at her house for the weekend, and I picked the brochure up. And I was like, this is a funeral home? I mean, it looks nothing like a funeral home. And I was so pleasantly surprised because the walls are bright. You know, it looks like a place where you would go to rejoice as opposed to a place that you have to go and be sad and bring, you know, that pain along with you. And that's what happens when you have to go to a funeral home. So I really commend you guys on making the decision because it's totally out of the box than what I think most people are doing with funeral homes. You would probably agree with me.
Right, and that's what I wanted to create, a different type of atmosphere. And that's why I'm able to have the tea here. It's a happy place. It really is.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
It is. So we're having the tea here. It's again, it's November the 15th. It's on a Sunday. I start at 3 p.m. sharp, and it's just going to be just an affair for the ladies, gourmet tea, just an event. We're going to have a silent auction. We have some really great items on the auction block. We have Redskin tickets. They probably were good at the beginning of the year. I know we're not doing so well now. But then we just have
Kimberly, they've got problems now.
Right, right. So I said those tickets are maybe not a good thing to have at the auction right now. But we have my limousine company donated a limousine ride. You know, different great things for the silent auction. And all this, of course, is to raise money for the colon cancer research.
Right. And you probably never, ever thought, I'm sure, you know, in your lifetime that out of all the things that you want to do and continue to do and thought about doing, that colon cancer is going to be anywhere on that list.
Never. Like I said, nobody in my family had it. And that's why I tell people it's so important. A colonoscopy, just getting a colonoscopy could save your life. Colon cancer is the most preventable of all the cancers and the most treatable if you catch it early. And it can take, you know, that stuff builds up in your system 5 to 20 years. So you just have to, you know, if you get a screen, you have a little polyp, they snip it off, tell you if it's, you know, cancerous or non-cancerous, and that's it. I mean, it's such an easy, and people think colonoscopies are uncomfortable. They give you good drugs, you don't feel a thing. So you gotta, you know.
It's probably worth going just to get some of those drugs. So before we continue our conversation with Kimberly, she is a colon cancer survivor, and she's here this evening on At Home with Victoria to talk about that and this great event that she has coming up to help raise money for colon cancer. I do just want to take a second. We've got a lot of guests that are visiting us inside the chat room. And, Kimberly, the chat room, I don't think you have it on your screen where you can see, but these are people that that are online, and they come and listen to the show and may have questions or things. And I do want to say hello to Gwendolyn Faulkner. Gwendolyn is in the chat room listening to your show today. And, again, all the other guests who took the time to be here with us this evening to listen to Kimberly's story. We've got two callers on the line. One is a 301 number, which I know is Marilyn. The other one is a 202 number. So I'll try the 202 number. So if you're out there listening, I'm going to go ahead and take some calls down. So, hi, are you there? Let's try the 301 number. Hi, are you there at 301? Still not having any luck with that, but we'll try again a little bit later on. But, Kimberly, how long after was it that you went, once you were, you know, obviously, like you said, you're never 100% cured, but that you were doing okay, that you decided that you wanted to get involved with this event?
You know, when I got better, so that probably I had another group as a, you know, I'm an embalmer, so we had a bunch of female embalmers. We had a group called the Fembalmers, and we would have a ball every year at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt, and we would do it to raise money for different charities. And of course, colon cancer was when my year came to do, which was the following year, 2006, after I got the cancer, or was it that it was that same year? And we donated the proceeds of the ball from to colon cancer research. So I said I'm going to do something every year, whether it's a private donation that I make. But this year, I thought the tea would be a good idea, just to get the ladies involved. And like I said, I had a great support team, and they still are supporting me now. There are still tickets available, ladies, so please join in. It's for a good cause.
Well, and certainly, too, I think, you know, I know there's a tough economic times out there for everybody, and I know folks are – a lot of folks are going through, but, you know, Christmas is here, so I think, you know, maybe instead of splurging a little bit on yourself for a Christmas gift, maybe take that money and donate it, you know, to your cause.
And it is a good idea, because if you have someone that has been affected by colon cancer, research helps, you know. Research helps all the cancers. So, you know, we wouldn't be as far as we were if we didn't have
research. If it wasn't for research,
right.
Looks like we've got another caller on the line. This is a 225 number. Hi, caller, are you there?
225.
Yes.
We're here.
Hi, you're on the air with Kimberly. Say hello. This is Victoria.
Hey, Kimberly.
Hi.
We're trying to hear. We had to stop, pull over in traffic.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to make sure you pulled over and you're safe in traffic first before you go ahead and start talking.
This is LaJuan and Mama Dale in Louisiana.
Oh,
hey,
hello.
Hi.
How you doing, my baby?
I'm doing good. Oh, my goodness.
And
I am Kimberly, I told you a lot of people were working behind the scenes and you didn't even know it.
Oh, and you know, LaJuan and Mama Dale, my best friend Anita, she and her and I went to mortuary school together. This is her mom and her sister. And
mm-hmm.
Anita passed when she was 33. She had a sarcoidosis, so they're very, very dear friends of mine.
That's wonderful. Now, have you guys pulled off on the side of the road? Are you safe yet? I think what happens is, too, you guys are getting an echo. So if you have our volume turned up, then that you should actually turn our volume down so that way you won't get that echo and it won't sound kind of weird.
Right.
Hey, how's it sound now?
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. So go ahead. So you guys know each other and you're calling in to support us. Tell us what type of person she is.
She's a wonderful person. When her and my sister were best friends and my sister passed, unfortunately, and Kim
mm-hmm.
came all the way from D.C. to Louisiana to prepare my sister's body for her burial. Mm-hmm. And we will never forget her kindness, her compassion, how she took her time with her and laid her to rest. It was just a wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful thing that she did.
And we're trying to be supportive of her through all that she does. I mean, through her entrepreneurship and everything.
Oh,
well, she
you,
certainly
Mom.
Has, like, again, and I don't think you were here at the top of the show when I started the show. I was talking about just how I found out about her and doing the show on her, that there's just so many people out there that just really love her. So I'm just glad that you guys are able to call in and you know, and to talk about what a wonderful person that she is.
She truly is. She has stood by me as Anita's mom and almost like a mom to her, too, through those years when they studied together and worked together.
That's wonderful. So, Kim, Kimberly, what does that make you feel like when you see all these folks calling in and people in the chat room that are guests to support you here today? Because you've got a lot of people in the chat room, although you can't see it. I don't think I've ever had that many guests in my chat room before.
You know, I'm a little overwhelmed because they're from Louisiana, so I'm truly overwhelmed.
We love you, girl.
I love you all, too. Thank you so much. It really warms my heart, though. It does. I told you I had a wonderful support team. I truly did. And still do. Still do.
And how's your beautiful daughter?
My beautiful daughter is beautiful. She is beautiful. I call her beauty.
I haven't had any pictures recently.
I will get you some. I will get some to you. Thank you all so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
It was nice talking all right. to all of
you. Bye-bye, Mama Dale.
Good talking to you guys, too. That's so nice.
It is.
That is so nice. I feel bad because if you're out there listening, there's a couple of people that's on from area code 301 and 202, and they're on the phone, and every time I go to them, I can't seem to get them. So if you're out there, call back. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but let's see if I can try again. 301. Hi, are you you're on the air? Can you hear me? I guess my suggestion would be to maybe just hang up and try to call back in again, because I feel bad. I don't want folks, you know, waiting on the line to talk to you and I don't get to you. But I've certainly been trying. I can say that. And again, I do want to thank all of the guests that we have in the chat room. Kim, I want to count and let you see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we've got about 11 people that's visiting in the chat room as guests to hear your show today, as well as Gwendolyn Faulkner, who is visiting us also for the show. So, Gwendolyn, thanks for joining us, and also all of Kim's fans and friends and church family and everyone that's out there that logged in as a guest. Now, I do have a question right here that a young lady sent me, and this is through my own private email when folks hear about the show and they want to send information. She wants to know, at the event, are children allowed?
No, we're not. We're just doing adults only this year. We're doing adults only this year. Because, like I said, this is the first year, so we're just going to have adults this time.
Right. We've got another caller on the line. This is another 202 number with 528. Hi, caller, are you there?
Hi, Kimberly. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? You are
I try not to call crying, but oh my gosh, this is just too much. I just called to say, Kimberly, I love you so much.
I know you do. I know you do. And Victoria, when I tell you this woman on the phone, and I'm just going to go to the extent of what I had to go through. This woman literally washed me, personally. I mean, just everything that I had, I couldn't even wash myself. So for a friend to do that for you, it's you know, to take the time out
of their
day.
Yeah.
Just sit at your bed while you're sleeping and just watch you. You know, those are what friends are for.
Well, I'm about to say hello to both of you all and Kimberly.
I'm about to start.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm about to start crying too.
it's kind of
messed up when the host of the show starts crying.
Right. Right.
So Kim,
I'm not going to hold you all because I know you have other calls in queue.
Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, bye.
So Kimberly, if I break down, will you just take over and keep talking?
I could do it.
I certainly have no doubt that you can't do it. But again, you know, the way that I found out about this was through all of your friends. And it was through your friends who about my show and me being a television journalist and trying to get folks stories and events and things out there. And that was the way that I found out about you. So obviously you are much loved, my love, because your friends were emailing me like crazy. And again, especially mostly us, and us trying to do this. Now, Gwendolyn wrote something inside the chat room. I'll read to you what she says. She says, Kim is a wonderful person. She just recently helped me through a tough time of losing my husband. I so appreciate the loving person she is, and her story is so inspiring. And that she says, I will definitely support the cause. And that's Gwendolyn Faulkner.
Thank you,
who,
Gwen.
Who just wrote that inside the chat room.
Oh, thank you, Gwen.
That is certainly nice.
Right, and she just went, like I said, she just went through a tough time losing her husband suddenly. So and that was less than, you know, three months ago.
Oh, yeah, that's very close then, yeah. That's still very much raw. Well, if you're just out there and you are just joining us on the show at the bottom of the hour, again, thanks so much for being here on At Home with Victoria. We're talking to Kimberly today, and Kimberly is a colon cancer survivor. She's got an event that is going to be coming up on November the 15th at 3 o'clock at the, the Briscoe Tonic Funeral Home, Kimberly?
That's it.
Okay, and it's at 2294 Old Washington Road, and I know that is in Waldorf, Maryland. Now, if you don't get this information, I do have it on my website here at Blog Talk Radio, and I'll keep that up until after your event is over.
So don't
feel like, you know, if you're out there, you're listening, or if you're in the chat room and you missed it, just, you know, when we hang up, just go back to my website, and all the information will be on there. And, again, it is a jazzy attire with a hat, and donations are $30, and all the proceeds, as she mentioned earlier, is going to go to research in colon cancer. And like, you know, she said earlier, without research, then nothing's going to get done, but that we've certainly come a long way so far.
We have. It has. It really has. But like I said, simple screening, and because they tell you not to get a colonoscopy until you're 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So if I waited to 50, I wouldn't be here. And like
that's
I said, true. I was diagnosed at 35, and they want you to have a family history. And I didn't have a family history.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it's you got to get tested.
And I think too, even with this being National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, October was. I think no matter what type of disease or anything that's out there, whether it's colon cancer, breast cancer, brain tumor, it seems like the most important thing is just to go and have yourself tested.
Right, and that's what most people are afraid of, and you don't have to be.
Why do you think people are afraid to get tested?
When I encourage people to get a colonoscopy, everybody thinks, oh, it's going to hurt. It doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a few minutes of pain if it saves your life?
Hey, absolutely. That sounds like a slogan to me.
You know, but there is no pain. Doctors, we have good medicines out there these days. You feel nothing. You see, matter of fact, you might ask the doctor for more medicine when you're finished because you feel good. It's fine. And that colonoscopy, and it's important when you get a colonoscopy, that they do your entire colon.
Okay.
And you need to ask the doctor, did you do my entire, there are three parts to your colon. And mine was in the ascending part of your colon, which is the furthest away from the scope. So you need to make sure they test, they do your, see pictures. Don't just take, you know, doctors have faults too. So you had to make sure, look at your pictures. Make sure they did your entire colon. That's the one of the most important.
Because in your case, as you said, yours was sort of way in the back. Had they only tested or screened that first part, it would have been missed.
Well, let me tell you, I had a colonoscopy 2 years before, and they did miss it. Had they done my entire colon when I had it 2 years previously, they probably would have caught it earlier. See, when I was diagnosed, I was in stage three. And it was in my ascending colon, which they did not check. And we know they didn't check because that's where I just had a colonoscopy.
Wow.
So that's why I said it's important to make sure that they do your entire colon.
Right. Wow.
That's
good information. That's good information right there.
I had just had a colonoscopy just 2 years before, and they didn't detect it.
Wow.
And then I almost had a complete blockage 2 years later.
My goodness.
So it was missed the first time.
My goodness. Let's see if we can take this telephone call that's on the air, another 202 number. Hi, caller, are you there? I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but you're here listening, so Kimberly, you can testify that I did try to get the callers on. So.
Yes.
I think what it is that they probably just need to hang up and recall again, because when we first got started, I've got to tell you, all of my switchboards were jammed. People were calling in like crazy, so I think what happened was it just probably jammed up on me.
Okay, but no,
which I think is certainly a good thing. Now, do you ever? We've got about 10 more minutes to go in the show. Do you ever? Well, first of all, how often do you have to go back and just to make sure that things are working right and things are okay? And the second part to that question is, just talking to you, I can tell you're not the type of person who's negative. You're not going to walk around thinking bad things. But is there ever anything sort of in the back of your mind or somewhere inside you where you think, oh, you know, I just hope that this doesn't come back again?
Of course. You try not to think that way, but, of course, it's always in the back of your mind, especially when they tell you you have stage three. So it's because they say it's a 60% chance it could come back, and you try not to think about it, but I just move on ahead. You know, there were times when I was building this building, I was like, why am I doing this? You know, why am I going through all this trouble to build a funeral home? But then I thought about it, life goes on, and I just have to think positive. And they tell you, and as far as getting screened again, they tell me to not to get another colonoscopy for 5 years. But
that seems like a long time. But
it is, and I get one every year. Whether I have to pay out of my pocket, you know, I make sure I get one every year.
Right.
So that's what they tell you. But I, 5 years. But I make sure I get one every year.
Right. That's why I said I'm certainly no doctor, but 5 years, that sounds like a long time to me.
But even when you get screened, when you get your first colonoscopy, they don't find anything. They tell you to come back in 10 years. 5 to 10 years.
10 years.
So you just have to be. You got to know your body, know your family history, and be proactive.
Be proactive, yeah. Well, you always hear, you're a very perfect example when you hear stories with people say no one in their family ever had breast cancer, or like you said, no one in your family ever had colon cancer. So, but then all of a sudden, you are the one that has it. And I want to mention, too, Gwendolyn is typing some information now inside the chat room, and she says that Kim is absolutely right about getting tested. She says, however, many insurance companies will not pay for the entire test. So she says, so it will be a very important that we follow. Yeah, she's right. The national discussion on health care, and not hesitate to talk to lawmakers. Gwendolyn, that's a great point. Great point.
You're right. Some of them, if you're under 50 and you don't have a family history, they won't pay for it. You have to wait till you're 50. But
Gwendolyn said, right now is a good time to get every single thing out there on the table with, both sides fussing about, national health care system versus not having it, with us, having health care out there on the forefront, that, having something like this answered or talked about, now certainly would be the time to have it,
Right. Right, and she's absolutely right. Some insurance companies will not pay for it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's just, I mean, it's just, it's so sad, all of the stories that you hear about insurance companies, you know. In some cases, even people, you know, folks are healthy and they will still deny things when there aren't even any pre-existing conditions. And I mean, I can't tell you, I've been a television news anchor for almost, 16 years now, and I have just done so many stories where people were in good condition and bad condition and were just constantly fighting insurance companies just to get them to pay for a test. And it's so, and it just seems so crazy because it seems like if they would just pay for the test, then if you find out that you have something, it's going
to
be much cheaper
to
give
right.
the test as opposed to not giving the test, and then you develop something that's full blown, and then think about the cost of taking care of what that is. It makes no sense to me. It never has.
Victoria, you're absolutely right. It's easier to prevent it. Just like you get your teeth, you know, they give you routine maintenance for your teeth so you won't get cavities.
Right.
They need to do the same thing for these tests. And with the
right.
colon cancer, it's, you know, if they had caught it, the colonoscopy compared to some of the chemotherapy treatments I received, one bottle of chemo was $3,000, you know. So that's one bottle for one treatment. You know, chemotherapy is very expensive. And, you know, I was thankful, I was blessed to have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you still have to pay for certain things out of your pocket. Any
Absolutely.
Experimental procedure I would have to pay for out of my pocket, it's better to prevent it than to treat it.
Right. And when you were going through the chemotherapy, how, you know, for people that don't know, how does that make you feel? Are you just exhausted all the time? You just,
yeah.
You, know, you can barely, what is that like?
It's... It is a very exhaustive treatment. It's to the point where, I mean, there are days when I cry because I didn't want to go. Just knowing
wow.
you have to sit in a chair, and it zaps you. It takes all your energy. And it depends on the dosage you get. Everybody gets different dosage, but I was getting a high dosage because I was so far along.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times, you know, you have to sit there for 5 hours. You know, you can't eat, it takes your body through a lot of changes. There were times when I would have whole layers of skin just peel off my hand and my feet. Couldn't get near a refrigerator because you're sensitive to hot and cold. Anybody who's gone through chemo knows what I'm talking about. You're
mm-hmm.
sensitive to hot and cold. You go through the phase where you can't eat. You know, the sight of food, the smell of food makes you sick.
It just makes you sick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
we've got another caller on the line. Let's see if we can get this caller through. This is
okay.
a 225 number. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Luan again, Kim.
Okay.
I was calling because I just wanted to say, of course, all the phones start ringing at the same time.
Right,
but I
right.
just, it was because
out.
When my dad died of colon cancer, Kim also did the funeral services so lovely for my father.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was diagnosed with colon cancer, so I went and had a colonoscopy, and I was 45. And when I went, they found 3 polyps. They told me until I was 50, I would have had cancer. So I think
serious?
It's very important for the callers to please go get tested as early as possible. Don't wait till you're 50. Even
mm-hmm.
if, like Kim said, you got to pay out of pocket, go get yourself checked.
You do.
Wow. So you are certainly an example of what she's talking about.
Right. It's very
and how are you right now? I mean, are you feeling okay, or what's your situation?
I'm feeling a lot better. Again, I'm not going to wait five. They told me to come back in 5 years. I'm not
right.
going to wait. I'm going to be like Kim. I'm going to go every year because my dad died of colon cancer. And
mm-hmm.
for me to have 3 polyps at 45 and for them to tell me that had I waited till I was 50, I would have been pretty sick.
Right.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. I'm just thankful that I went and got tested.
Well, and I can certainly say I know obviously somebody out there is going to listen to your story as well as Kimberly's story and go get tested. So I do think by, you know, having these conversations and talking to people, I really do believe that, you know, you're actually helping people and you could possibly save a life.
And Luan, was your procedure, was it painful or painless?
It was painless. The worst part of it was drinking that stuff.
Oh, right. The procedure itself isn't bad.
Bad at all. Mm-mm. But, you know, you just had to drink that thick liquid. But like you said, I would go through it every year if it would save my life because I want to be here for my children and my grandchildren.
That's one day.
You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive because my sister died at 30.
And you know something, too, and I guess this is something personally that I want to find out, and I would encourage everyone else, and Kimberly, you may know this yourself, is it more common also with African Americans? Because a lot of things are more prone to us than to other people.
It's prone to African Americans because it's disproportionate screening. You know, more Caucasians are tested than African Americans, so we have a higher risk of developing cancer and a lower survival rate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And my uncle had colon cancer on my mother's side.
So it definitely runs in your family.
Mm. Yes, definitely, definitely.
Wow. So, well, thank you so much for your story. This time went by fast. We only have about 3 minutes left. So I want to thank you for calling in so much. And we'll have to continue to have this discussion again. I really wanted to just talk about it today because she's got that event coming up. But I'll contact you guys later, and maybe we can continue the discussion. But, again, I just want to, you know, just take the time to thank you so much for calling in. And, Kimberly, I want to mention your event once again. I always like to get it in. But, again, if you missed it, it's going to be on my website until the event is over. But it's Sipping for the Star. It's an afternoon tea in the Washington, D.C. area. It's Sunday, November the 15th at 3 o'clock at the Briscoe Tonic Funeral Home, and that's 2294 Old Washington Road in Waldorf, Maryland. And I do have the telephone number on there as well. Not your personal number, Kimberly. It was a number that you handed out. And it is Jazzy Attire with a hat, $30, and all the proceeds are going to go to a research for colon cancer. So, Kimberly, thank you so much for being
on.
Thank you. The time went by fast, and I appreciate it.
I know, Victoria, and I thank you. And, ladies, it's going to be a fun event, so please, please come. Victoria, I hope you can join us.
Yeah, actually, I was telling So that I was going to try to be there myself. So, no, I'll be rolling up in there. Don't
all
worry.
All right.
If I don't make it, then I'm just going to send a check, you know, and it's probably send it in your name or something for the research part of it. But I tell you what, I will do. I have a couple more shows before your event, so.
Okay.
I'll make sure that I make the announcement on every single show.
I appreciate it.
Just to remind people that you're having it.
Victoria, thank you so much. And thank all the callers.
Thank you.
Thank you. You all take care.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kimberly.
Okay.
I do appreciate it. And, again, I want to thank everybody who joined us today on At Home with Victoria as we were talking to Kimberly. I told you when I started the show she is a wonderful young lady. And she is a colon cancer survivor. She's got a lot of support out there in terms of her friends, Gwendolyn, who's in the chat room, Tawana, all of the other guests that came to join us today. It's pretty obvious that you guys love her. And, again, I just want to say for the record, I've been doing this show for a while, and I've never had this many people in my chat room. So all of you guests, you're more than welcome to come back and listen to some of my other shows. I, by trade, am a television news anchor and worked all over the place. Last place I worked was in Baltimore, Maryland. Was born and raised in D.C., and I like doing the show because I can, you know, spend 45 minutes to an hour to actually talk to and things about topics that I'm actually interested in. So that was kind of how this show started. So, again, thank you so much for joining us. And let's see, next week and the next couple weeks after, if you like HSN or QVC, we're going to have some of their hosts that are going to be on from HSN and QVC to come on and talk about their favorite Christmas products that HSN and QVC sell. So come by and visit and just keep an eye on my board, and it'll have all the shows and the information on there. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.